Blog Talk Radio.
Stimulate your intellect, and you ain't even know. It's broadcasted from the internet, giving you what you want. Showing love to the hood, even to the burbs. So yeah, it's all good. No, they ain't like other stations following the trend. 10 minutes later, the same song again. It's the D-Hour Show. Yeah, I said it, so you know. Coming first in any challenge. On your mark, set, go. If you're ready, let's roll. Let's hop aboard the starship. The hottest station showing love to underground. Yeah.
It's all real. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is All Things Sports. This is your host, Big Mike. C. Miller will be along shortly. We're going to talk a little bit about sports today. The NFL is in high gear once again. I'm going to talk a little college basketball. We don't ordinarily do that, but tonight's a big night for college basketball. Maybe talk a little NBA, very little NBA, but the big story, which I'll give my man C. Miller all his props when he's ready to go. C. Miller?
check. Am I on?
Yes, he is. I'll give him all his props. Last week, if you were listening, he correctly pictured the Stanford, would manhandle Oregon, and he was absolutely 100% correct about his superior college football knowledge at the moment. C. Miller, what did you see in Oregon that made you so confident that that would be the pick?
Well, going back, I think the main thing was Marcus Mariota. I've seen when he's faced with pressure, he doesn't seem to throw as much accuracy and has a hard time finding his receivers. So I think that, and I also just seen that Oregon, since the dawn of time, has not had a real strong offensive line. For whatever reason, they haven't seemed to recruit that position as well as maybe some other positions that they do over the last 10 years. And I thought those things combined, I thought Mariota would be under pressure. I just thought Stanford would be able to control the clock just like they did. It kind of went according to plan as far as what I thought. And now I think he has the two best teams at the top of the BCS standing. So now it's just Florida and Alabama's job to run the table to set up what I thought would be the best game.
The thing I was actually most surprised about in that game, I watched most of that Oregon-Stanford game. I don't know how much, in that read option, how much of the decision is Mariota's, how much is play calling, et cetera, but he didn't try to run the ball at all. I know that Mariota was either handing off or going through his two-receiver read, and that was pretty much it. I thought he could have affected the game a little bit more with his legs, but either A, they didn't call plays for him to run, or B, he chose not to, depending on, like I said, who has the decision-making in that. So, I don't want to put it on him being scared to run, but he didn't do it. And he's affected just about actually every game this year with his legs to some degree, and made no effort to do it in that game, which I think was primarily their downfall. I think that Stanford loaded up against the run, dared Mariota to beat him. He couldn't beat him. And I think his Heisman hopes took a real big hit with that loss.
Yeah, I agree. I think that sets him back to second or third in the Heisman. And I think Oregon missed Chip Kelly as well. I think that I haven't really heard that talked about too much, but I know Oregon went for it on fourth down inside the 10. Like you said, maybe the play calling and Mariota not having a green light to go or quite what was going on there. I think Health Freak or whatever his name is, he looked like kind of a deer in the headlights in what amounted to his first big game. So, like you said, that was a big action. Alabama remained undefeated and looked good doing it. I didn't watch a lot of that game, but I did see the final score and seeing that they pretty much dominated the second half. I don't know if you had a chance to catch that or not.
Yeah, I caught that one. It happened exactly like you said. Once again, LSU is competitive until halftime. I won't say the Mad Hatter got out coached because I don't think that's what was the case, but it's typical after halftime. Alabama, they get in the I formation. They run the ball down your throat. You're tired. You can't keep up with it. Their line beating up on you, and by the end of the – by the fourth quarter, the game's pretty much decided. So, yeah, you're right. As of right now, it looks like maybe we'll get Bama and Florida State. If everything holds true, Florida State was dominant against Wake Forest, as you expect them to be. They don't really have another tough game. I don't even think the ACC championship game will be tough for them or should be tough for them. So they should run the table. Alabama should run the table, and that's looks like that's who we'll have.
Let me ask you, who you think has a better chance to maybe slip up and move?
I would say Bama, just because I don't know who they're going to get in that SEC championship, but that's usually a tough game. Whoever wins the SEC East usually does show up to play, so I think they got a better chance of slipping up. Would you agree or disagree?
Oh, I would tend to agree, yeah, just because I think they're going to play some tougher games. I'm real high on not real high to necessarily be Alabama, but I think Auburn's a good team. I know they play in the next couple weeks as well. So they're going to have that game, and then, like you said, the SEC championship is going to be a tough game. Yeah, it would be interesting. I wish I had, like, a stat guy on the side that could look it up for us. I think South Carolina is now in the driver's seat there. I don't know. That's a guess, but. Those are two tough games. I mean, obviously, they'd be favored by double digits and Wolf to win, but I think, if A.J. McCarron turns it over a couple times, and I don't see – they're just playing tougher teams. I don't see Florida State losing at all. That the ACC is terrible to begin with. They can't play Clemson again in the championship, so it. I would be very shocked that, I would have to definitely my word if Florida State lost.
And I don't think this is – I think Alabama is more primed for a loss because – the more I look at this Alabama team, this isn't one of Nick Saban's better teams. This is a team that's, I think, feeding on the fact that the SEC just isn't as good as it's been in the past. So I think they got, like you said, they're a bad A.J. McCarron game from losing. So
right, and I can see that. Hopefully, I mean, as far as from a betting perspective, I think I'll be on Florida State in that national championship game and maybe see somewhere they're getting about a 7-point spread. A la Texas over USC or something like that, to where maybe a money line bet will be the tip there, but we'll get to that when it happens, definitely. Anything else in college that we needed to get to before we take a break and come back with some NFL?
Nothing I can think of. I do need to talk to Mr. Miller about this the Bears Lions game. It hurts me to talk about, but we do got to get into it. We're going to take a quick break. Get into the NFL when we come back. If you're out there listening, this maybe pose a question to you. Who lost that Bears game? Was it for him? Were the Lions just too good? Was it Mark Trestman? Who do you think? Who do you think is fault? Call in number 718-766-4553. If you're out there, let us know your opinion, and we'll be back.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
I might look like an adult, like a person who could possibly be a parent, but I have no idea how to talk like one. And everyone knows that if you want to be a parent, you have to sound good when you say things like, "Don't make me turn this car around," or "Because I said so," or "Don't make me come back there." I don't even really know what those things mean, but I know that I actually believed my parents when they said them to me. How did they manage to sound so convincing? Here we go. "Don't make me come back there." Ugh, no, that's not tough enough at all. Kids can sense weakness. "Don't make me come back there." Ooh, yeah, that's better. In fact, that kind of sounded like my dad. Weird.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to listen to you practice your dad voice. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad.
All right, we're back on All Things Sports. Ready for our time to talk NFL. Mr. Miller, that Bears game, you know, we for those of you who don't know, I'm a Bears fan. Miller is a Lions fan, and the Lions beat the Bears 21-19.
Go Lions.
Again, from what I saw, Jay Cutler was clearly hurt after the first quarter. Trestman chose to keep him out there until the last drive when McCown took over and let him down for a potential game-winning touchdown. Couldn't get the two-point conversion down, but the offense didn't move all game around Cutler. He hobbled around. They chose to keep him in there instead of pulling him out. I lay that one strictly on the coaching staff. Miller, do you have an opinion?
Well, when you say Cutler, let me ask you this first before I respond to that. When you say Cutler was left in there by Trestman, isn't that ultimately the player's decision to come out with an injury?
I think it was clear that he was hurting your team. I think once it's clear that your star player or your better player is hurting your team, I think if you got a better shot with the backup, yeah, you, as a coach, you got to pull that trigger.
Okay, and I'll go with that. I mean, maybe at first your coach is not comfortable doing that, because I got to imagine nowadays it's a little bit different game. You know, back when you played and, you know, leather helmets were in style. You know, I think the star player really has the – I think we've seen it with RG3 injury last year in the playoffs. I think the star player has to come and half out. You know, if you bench a guy like RG3 or Cutler, you know, if he embarrasses you on the sideline or – I mean, ultimately it comes down to he should be asking Jay, and I think if Jay says I'm going to go, then he should have left him in. But anyway, aside from that, I would counter by saying that the Lions won the game and not necessarily, you know, you can go coaching on the Bears' part. I think the Bears were outmanned. You had Matt Forte, 17 carries for 33 yards. I think the Lions D stepped up on the road. We finally showed up. The defense played really well, I think. You guys gained a few yards in the first half and then the second half. You know, like you said, Cutler was injured. I'm speaking on knowledge, or I'll be honest with you, other than the second quarter, I didn't watch a ton of the game. I was out doing some different things this Sunday. But from the stats I've seen and from the highlights I've seen, I got to imagine the Lions outplayed you guys. Calvin Johnson, 2 touchdowns. You guys haven't been able to guard him since he came into the league. I think that's a huge disadvantage you guys are at every game. And Reggie Bush, another 100-yard game from him. He seems to, you know, this is only his second game against you guys, but he's already proven, I want to say he's 2 for 2 in 100-yard games, so he's already proven that he shreds their defense as well. So I think the better team won Sunday. I think that's what it comes down to. You can say coaching, you can say misplay here. But really, it's just the better team won. I think that's what happens in the NFL. I think we want to get lost in a lot of the different things that happen in a game when really the better team went on the road and got the victory.
I'm not really going to debate that. The only thing I'm going to say is, like you're right, we scored some points in the first quarter. When Cutler was still healthy, he gets hurt. He re-injures himself. The offense doesn't move at all. He comes out of the game, and then the offense moves once again. I think the Bear defense actually played better than I've seen it play so far this year, with the exception of the Monday night game. So, you know, we can agree to disagree on that. But the bottom line is, I think if you're Trestman, you got to make that move earlier. And if you make that move early, now you never know. Like, if you make that move earlier and it doesn't work, at least you could say, you know, maybe you leave Cutler out there. But it was obviously, he was hobbling around. He couldn't move. He couldn't get away from pressure. He didn't try to get away from pressure. He couldn't push off on his foot. He was throwing ducks. He was throwing bad passes for most of the second half. I think anybody who actually, you know, who watched the game would, you know, I give credit to the Lions. They did win it. But as a coach, you can't be, I don't know if it's fear. Like you said, that is a star player you're talking about. You don't want to embarrass him, but there's 52 other guys out there you have to worry about as well. So. I think the move should have been made. Who knows what would have happened, but I think it would have gave the Bears a better chance to win in the end. Other than that, any other games catch your eye this weekend?
Well, let's finish off that point. How do you see that division playing out the rest of the season? With you know, you have Rodgers hurt now. They lost to Philadelphia. What do you think? What do you think that happens in that division?
I think the Lions have the inside track. They're the healthiest, and I think they also have. That defense is probably better than I gave him credit for. Outside of the defensive line, Nick Fairley looks like a beast. he beats it up on that 2-point conversion and shut it down. So and he played a good ball game. I think that defense is better than I gave it credit for. Like you said, they got a healthier quarterback than the other two teams that have a shot at it. So and the Lions have the inside track. I think that
is Green Bay done.
Yeah. Yeah, until they get Rodgers back, they might be done. They're down to Scott Tolzien, I heard today or yesterday. They re-signed Matt Flynn, who, you know,
cut three times.
Yeah, I say who couldn't play in Seattle, who couldn't play in Oakland, and couldn't play in Buffalo. So, yeah, I think until, you know, for all purposes, they might be done. That offense is too driven on Aaron Rodgers, and I can't see Scott Tolzien making a difference in that. So, yeah, they're done. I think it's a two-horse race, Bears and Lions.
Well, also catching my eye this week was it had to be the Rams over Indianapolis. Ooh. I think a lot of top five power ranking, respect was going out to Indianapolis, and they got blitzed. They looked bad on the offensive line. I know they gave up a lot of big plays, so. So that caught my eye. You also had the two winless teams get a win this week, which, that was hard to predict. I think we talked about Jacksonville maybe never winning a game this year, and they stacked up, for lack of a better term, and came through. And then Tampa Bay with Miami and disarray. I think they caught Tampa Bay caught Miami at the right time and was able to pull that out. So that caught my eye this morning. Went at home, doing what they do at home. They, for whatever reason, continue to dominate at home and struggle on the road. So we'll see, as the weeks tick by, we'll see if they're able to get home field advantage. I think that's that's what they need to do to get to the Super Bowl.
That's actually 2 weeks in a row that Indianapolis has looked pretty bad. They actually looked pretty bad in that Sunday night game for half the week before. And, you know, before they caught the Texans when, you know, some would say the Texans was probably upset over their coach or whatever the case may be. But, yeah, that's 2 weeks in a row they've looked bad, and they really laid an egg against St. Louis. That actually shocked me. The other game that caught my eye was we had a true defensive battle for the first time in a while in San Francisco and Carolina. Carolina's defense looked great. San Francisco's defense actually looked great. Just, Carolina happened to get a touchdown versus field goals. I thought that I think that, you know, I know people don't talk a lot about defense, but Luke Kuechly is all man. I think he might be, you know, getting close to challenging for one of the better linebackers in the league. Bowman, you know, I think Bowman's actually the better of the two linebackers out there in San Fran. That was a good, tough defensive battle. Some people might say bad offense. I say great defense.
What do you see with Colin Kaepernick? I mean, is there something wrong with him there, or what's what's going on with Kaepernick? I figured coming out of a bye, I thought you would see San Francisco score more points against that defense. Or is that just a good defense beating a good quarterback?
I think there's some problems with weapons out there. I think, they're a power running football team. Carolina was able to shut down Frank Gore to a certain degree. And I think Vernon Davis was out. And, you know, I think Bolden's not – the Bolden, we remember, he can't really get separation on a lot of DBs anymore. And I think that, can't remember if Manningham played or not, but I think, he's been out for almost 2 years now. So I think there's no deep threat on that team. I think there's nobody who's, Bolden, everywhere he's been, he's always had a receiver on the other side to kind of stretch things, like with Fitzgerald kind of back then. Fitzgerald's more of a receiver to stretch the field for him. He had Torrey Smith last year to kind of stretch the field for him. And I think without that guy, Bolden's having a hard time being the number one receiver on that team. And he just had no place to throw the ball.
Yeah, I would agree. I'm surprised by that. I thought Kaepernick, I guess I kind of bought into the media hype. I thought he would have a breakout year. But I would agree. Weapons is a problem there. I think they cut Kyle Williams today. I know he started some games out there, so that tells you a lot because he wasn't a standout in college as far as I remember.
He was not.
You know, no disrespect to Kyle, but I don't think he gets another job. So
that's all right. Kenny Williams' boy. He probably should be working in the league anyway.
Yeah, that whole family's out of work, it seems like. So, you know. Anyways, yeah, as far as anything else that was going on in the NFL that you want to get in real quick?
I was, you know, like you said, I watched the Monday night game. I thought, even though, you know, that Dolphins team is in disarray, I kind of thought that they would, you know, I shouldn't say come to play, but from the start of that game, Tampa Bay kind of punched them right in the mouth, and they never really answered, and I was kind of shocked at the fact that I thought they would rally up, you know, try to rally around the fact that they've been going through all this turmoil a little bit, but they didn't seem to have a lot of fight in them last night. Granted, Tannehill down two linemen, he got sacked a lot. They couldn't run the football at all, also an offensive line problem. I think they said the rushing stats were 140 to two rushing yards the whole game. So, so maybe that was an offensive line issue. I don't want to, you know, I'm not interested in revisiting the whole bullying controversy, but that took a real, like the loss of those two linemen was evident in that game, and that took a real toll on their team. And I thought maybe like the defense, someone would rally up a little bit, but that didn't really take place. Also, we can talk a little bit about this week coming up, the big one, or, you know, the big one, we're going to see if Kansas City is for real, finally. They finally get a test. Peyton Manning comes to town, and we'll see if this defense is really the real deal or they've just been playing against bad quarterbacks.
Did you see Dwayne Bowe? He got arrested today, so. That's not gonna help the that's not gonna help the situation out there in Kansas City.
Smoking the weed, man.
Yeah, got him.
The funny thing is they I guess it's not funny, but they specifically put that he had more than 10 grams. So,
you know what I heard on the Dan Patrick Show? Still on their information. I heard that there was I heard it was barely over 10 grams. So I think, and it was in separate containers, and I think there was multiple people in the car. So. Oh, I mean, that sounds like one of the things they may be able to get out of or be. I don't think it's really a big deal. The media tries to get it,
right,
make
right.
it sound as bad as can be. But I think when they say over 10 grams, I think it was like it totaled about 10 grams. So, I don't know. I mean, you're the expert there. How much does that add up to? I don't know. Is that a lot or a little bit or?
I have no idea.
No, I'm just messing around, but. As far as my knowledge, I think that's a small amount. So I think.
Yeah, I don't. The law is 10 grams, right?
He must have had the bye week blues, but you know, another distraction for Kansas City as they go into that game. I think Denver. I predicted this a few weeks ago. I think Denver should be able to give it to him. I know Peyton Manning's having MRIs and things. He was hobbled last week. Which is a concern to Denver. It has to be, but. I think is that game in Kansas City? You know, that's a home or away game?
I think it's in Kansas City. Don't quote me on that, but I'm pretty sure it's in Kansas City.
Yeah, so, you know, if I don't know, they may, just being at home and getting a first half lift, they may be able to do something with the spread. I'd have to look at it before I made a prediction there. But, I got to like Denver in that one. I know that's a Sunday night game, so that's something I'll definitely be tuned into. Speaking of things I'm tuned into, what happened to, not to put you on that, but what happened to, we were supposed to have dinner last night to get Adam to pay up his debt. What happened to that? Where were you at?
Actually, I didn't hear from anybody, so, I mean, I was down. I had a little, I had a little two-year-old issue, but it was, yesterday was actually my son's two-year-old birthday, so.
Oh, man. Yeah. Well, then, yeah, in that case,
We're doing some stuff, and, you know, I took him out to eat and let him run around and do whatever two-year-olds do. So I miss that, but we can get that next Monday because I got to get that meal, and I'm almost positive that at the end of this year it'll be your turn to buy me a meal again. So.
And then that's why I'm trying to get it in now because I feel like down the road I'm just going to have to do a trade and then dinner's never going to happen. So. No, I hear you. 0-for-3 with my against the spread picks again this week, so I really have no credibility in that area. But an area I do have credibility in is fantasy football. We're going to take a look at that when we get back after a commercial break. If you have any questions, Mike, go ahead and give them that number. We can give you some expert advice free of charge. So, the number is
718-766-4553. Give us a call, and we'll be back.
Mom was diagnosed with Alzheimer's at 58 years old. 8 years into the disease was when all the light went out.
For me, it was heart-wrenching.
Looking into the eyes of somebody with Alzheimer's sometimes, you just don't see the person's soul is like gone.
And it takes a toll on everyone. I mean, it's a depressing disease to watch unfold before your eyes.
She actually thought those of us who were caring for her and who loved her most were her worst enemies.
More and more responsibilities fell on my shoulders.
This disease just ravages a family.
It changes your life.
The magnitude of it is indescribable. My mother taught me to be in the moment.
We have to live in the moment with them.
And I'm going to be with that person right now in this moment, wherever she is.
Now is the moment. If we work together, we can stop this epidemic.
Contact Bright Focus and learn more.
So, Jacqueline.
Yes, Mom?
I wanted to talk to you about something and... Oh, wait. Hold on. I just got a text. Oh, there's another one. Wow. Busy, busy me. So, anyway...
Oh, wait, Mom. I just got a message. My friends keep commenting on my comment. Oh, there's another one. So many comments on my comment.
Oh, I can't wait to watch TV tonight. Playoffs!
Hey, guys, check out my new video game. Pew, pew!
Wait.
Mom, what?
Huh? What? Hold
What'd
on.
What'd you say? Wait a second, what?
This weekend, unplug. Take your family to the forest. There's nothing in the world like experiencing nature firsthand. Trees, paths, bluebirds, streams. Getting closer to nature can get you closer to your family. To find the forest nearest you, go to discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to All Things Sports. We're going to lead into a little bit of fantasy this week. Mike, real quick, how'd you fare last week?
I got blitzed in both leagues. I think one league I only scored 72. In the other league, I don't think I scored more than 60. So
wow.
Maybe
hopefully you had a lot of buys.
It may be a lot of people not showing up. Cam Newton only getting 5 points was a killer.
Well, I was a victim, but still managed to win that one.
So I don't really. Maybe I should just stop talking this segment and let you have it. I don't know if I have any fantasy credibility.
Well, a lot of changes going on. You had Mike James go out for the season this week. You got Ben State 7 in for Arian Foster, who was announced he was out for the season. So all Ben State numbers get a starting running back. I know I've seen his predictions jump up. Who else? I think if you got a high waiver number right now, you definitely want to maybe wait a week. I know there's some Mark Ingram pickups out there, but you definitely probably want to wait a week. There's going to be some major add-ons here in the next few weeks.
All right, we got a call. Kyler, what you got to say to me? Hello, Kyler, you're on air with All Things Sports.
You guys hear me?
Hello.
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 Hey, how you doing?
Hello. How are you guys doing?
All right.
No introduction needed. It's Big A-Bomb. How you doing?
Hey, what's going on, guys? How's it going?
Good, man. What you got for us?
I'm just trying to, talk about the NFC West. You know, all things sports. But for me, it's a little bit more all things NFC West, being it's football season. And I'm a 49ers fan. So, I just want to go over some
You are the NFC West most knowledgeable person, at least in this group. So what do you think about that? I was trying to talk a little bit about your Niners this week in that defensive battle. What did you think of that game?
I think you hit it right on the nail there. There's no weapons to go around for Colin Kaepernick. I know everyone wants to drag him down and discard him and toss him in the garbage. I think it's more personal for a lot of people. They see, a good-looking man posing for magazines, he's ripped, he's shredded, he's posing on the field half naked, and, a lot of a lot of men don't like that stuff, so they're quick to pull the trigger and send them packing. But there's a lot more behind the scenes going on than just Kaepernick not performing.
I don't see any of his him being half naked has to do with what we're talking about, but all right.
I would go to as far as to say that could be some of the problem. I mean, you may have jealousy inside of his own locker room and stuff like that too. So he may be doing too much before he's actually proving himself. You know.
I wasn't necessarily going in that direction. I was just mentioning how a lot of the fans, as far as the fans, are blaming him for all the
negativity going on in the losses here. But you can't just take this guy who's never even played a full season and put the blame on him. You know, you got to give him some weapons. And when you look at Sunday's game, you don't have any weapons there but Frank Gore. You lose Vernon Davis in the first quarter, so there's your speed. Vance McDonald is nowhere near Vernon Davis's level, who's our backup tight end. Mario Manningham's been out for over a year and a half, which doesn't offer anything of value to us at this moment. Crabtree's been gone, and that was kind of Kaepernick's go-to guy. And then Bolden, you get to see his age. He's slow. He can't separate on his own. He needs help on the other end, like you were saying. So to just kind of take Kaepernick and throw him under the bus is just a bad way to look at things. I like that you're defending your boy there. I think there are definitely some more problems. What about, not to keep asking you so many questions, but how do you see, with the said weapons not being there, how do you see the 49ers? Do they finish ahead of the Cardinals? Are they able to make a run as a wild card team? Have you given up the division? What is the prognosis on the 49ers?
As of now, I would say Sunday's loss is going to probably put us out of the NFC West running. So I'm 99.9% willing to go ahead and hand that over to Seattle. But I'm not worried at all about a wild card berth. That's almost a lock, given the fact that we only have two more tough games with New Orleans at home, in New Orleans, and then we got, obviously, Seattle coming back to Candlestick. So if we can split two of those games, I think we'll be fine, and we should win the rest of those games. The Cardinals don't pose any threat. They're playing better, but they're not for reals. They don't have enough firepower to compete in the NFC for a wild card berth. So I'm not too worried about San Francisco at the moment, barring any injuries like, Kaepernick, Frank Gore type deal. We'll be fine. We'll pick up a wild card, and we'll just have to hit the road come January. And we've proven that we can go on the road and win. So I think either way we're going to be okay. Obviously, Seattle, like I mentioned at the beginning of the year, that's going to be the roadblock. There's only one team that's going to get in our way for January, and that's going to be Seattle. So we got a long road ahead, and going into Seattle in January is not going to be fun. Going into Seattle any month of the year is not fun. So I look forward to a strong finish, but we'll be all right.
All right. For those of you who don't know, my man A-Bomb is probably the world's biggest Cardinal hater. So he ain't never going to say nothing good about the Cardinals. So even if the Cardinals were 10-0 right now, no love. Am I right, A-Bomb?
No, I don't mind giving them the credit where it's due. I mean, the defense is staying solid. But, the bottom line is they just don't have enough firepower behind that offensive line. Carson Palmer, he's an old man out there, and he's showing that he can't get it done. They have a running game somewhat going now, so that's going to open up a little bit more for Carson Palmer to let him step back and fire off to Larry Fitz and the other guys. But at the end of the day, we all know they're not a contender; they're a pretender. But they're playing better, and it gives some hope to the fans for next year, and we'll leave it at that.
All right, sir. Well, we appreciate the call, and you're only our second caller in 3 weeks, so. We appreciate the call, man, and I'll get back at us next week.
All right, gentlemen, I'll be giving you a call back after we take care of the Saints. You guys have a good day now.
All right, man.
All right.
All right, that was our man, A-Bomb. We probably tried to get him to call in a few times through the show. He always has pretty good insight on things. as you see, he can take it in a different area with talks of men half naked and whatnot. That's kind of his style. So if you don't know him, we're kind of used to that kind of talk, but it takes some people off guard. But back to you.
I like them getting those guys back there. I think San Fran, I think he's on to something there. I think maybe if I'm a San Fran fan, I actually want people sleeping on my team right now. And I think I kind of agree with what he said. I think if they have to go into New Orleans, they could probably win a game out there with the defense that they have. So, I can't hate on them too much. We'll get back to our little fantasy minute here. I know a lot of quarterback rotations are going on. I've seen Nick Foles on the block in a few of my leagues, and I've seen Case Keenum in the starting lineup for teams. Phillip Rivers, somebody that I've carried this year, he's starting to slow down a little bit. I guess my question for you is, what quarterback do you see or quarterbacks do you see as maybe taking teams in the weeks 14, 15, and 16 on a playoff run similar to what Cam Newton did last year?
If Peyton Manning's healthy, you always kind of like Peyton with those weapons, you know, Welker, Demaryius Thomas, Julius Thomas. If he's healthy, I like him taking the team on a nice little run. And I look at teams who, I don't think Cam's the guy for this year just because the way that team is kind of structured differently. They're more of a run the ball, play defense style than they probably were last year. And they're not going to be playing from behind as much as they were last year. So I don't like Cam. I like Peyton Manning. I don't want to sound like Mr. Obvious, but I think Tom Brady, I think that offense with Gronk in it is starting to click a little bit.
What about Nick Foles? Do you think he's is that fool's gold with Foles, or is he going to be someone that can lead a stretch run?
I wouldn't go as far to say it's fool's gold, but I will say I probably need one more week on Nick Foles to really buy in. I think that
I'm with you. I'm not buying it. I'm selling Nick Foles. If I have Nick Foles, I'm selling him right now. I think he's 1 week away from a single-digit game. Let him get rattled early on. I think it is fool's gold, honestly. So we'll see.
But as far as running backs, I know I was on the waiver wire this week. I passed on Mark Ingram just because, when you deal with the Saints, you're still dealing with, three backs that, Sean Payton's going to ride whoever's hot, and Pierre Thomas always gets the first chance at it. So do you think Mark Ingram is a viable option going forward, or do you think that's fool's gold as well?
Well, I did get to see a little bit of that game, and he looked good. So, as far as the eye test, he passed for me, so. I think if you're desperate, I think that's a play that, with the Saints, you got to imagine he's going to be the goal line carrier. He's a little more of a hammer than Thomas and Stoles. So you can never guess. They're a lot like New England. I mean, they run guys hard 1 week, and then you don't see them the next week. So I don't know that he's somebody to take to a championship, but I definitely think if you're sending back, I think he is worth a waiver wire look.
What about, as you said, Mike James got injured last night? They had Brian Leonard and Bobby Rainey running. Rainey scored the touchdown. Leonard got a bulk of the carries. Who do you think is going to be the more viable back in that offense moving forward if you're really desperate?
Man, I wouldn't be surprised to see him sign a name there too, because that's a tough spot right there. But, if I had to pick one, I mean, Rainey probably has a little bit more upside. He's probably more apt to be able to break a long run, where Leonard maybe will get you some of the goal line carries. So, that's a situation where I would maybe stay away from, because I don't know that either one of them are going to get over 20 carries ever. So I don't know that that's a boom situation. It's a team, although they won yesterday, it's a team that's going to be behind a lot, where you don't even see a running back in the game too much in the second half. I mean, you've seen that with Doug Martin. That was a problem when he was in there. He's more talented than those two. And that's the problem. If they don't catch the lead at the first, then Tampa Bay usually down by about 14 after one quarter. So. I stay away from that situation.
So do you think the problem with Ingram earlier in the year when he was playing and wasn't playing well, do you think it was primarily health, or are they?
Well, he's had a little bit more time than just this year to look bad. I think for whatever reason, I mean, I'm not on the inside. He hasn't necessarily picked up the system, because If he's not going to run the ball, he's not in the game a lot.
Right.
You know, he's obviously not a great pass catcher. And then, you know, maybe even question his blocking ability because it seems Foles and Thomas seem to get the majority of the play. So I think it's a little bit just that he's just having a grasp of what they want to do there. And for whatever reason, they seem to be in the doghouse every year. So, you know, his cutback looked good. He looks, like I said, I definitely think he's worth the waiver because Smalls is, he's a diminutive guy, or he's an injury away. We've already seen him get nicked up a couple times this year, so maybe if you even have Smalls, you definitely maybe want to jump on the Mark Ingram waiver wire.
So I'm asking for myself here. Randy Leonard Ingram, you need a back, you got to have one. Who you get?
I got to go Ingram, Rainey, Leonard in that order.
In that order, okay. I like that. I think that's kind of where I was leaning to, but that's kind of where I wanted to go with that as far as receivers. So far, I thought, you know, I remember at the start of the year we talked about how deep receiver was. I'm starting to find out it doesn't feel like that's true so far this year. Like, basically, you know, you might have the receiver spot instead of, you know, the big name. You might have a Marvin Jones week or a Riley Cooper week.
Davon Austin week.
But do you see anybody, any of those guys that's kind of flashed in the last few weeks? Who do you think is going to be consistent going down the stretch?
Well, I think, you know, aside from the big names, Calvin and A.J. Green probably are your top two. Dez Bryant seemed to slow the last few weeks, but he's capable of a 20-point game any week. As far as consistency, I got to go Antonio Brown, guy he's a must-start every week. You know, and it'll be interesting. There's got to be number two guys in Indianapolis. It's obviously seen by Darius Hayward Bay. Maybe an insider tip, Derek Rogers or Dave Rick Rogers is coming up this week. You know, maybe just add a playmaker there in Indianapolis because you have such a good quarterback. I think he's worth a look. You know, that's definitely a reach. Consistency wise, you can't go anyone you know what I like is not even a receiver, a tight end is Jimmy Graham. He's definitely gonna be consistent. I don't know. Yeah, I'm reaching for people as far as someone that you may not be thinking of. I think the right numbers will go up with Ryan Fitzpatrick out. Ryan Fitzpatrick in. I think that adds value to him. Larry Fitz is on the way down. I don't know who will step up there. I thought Michael Floyd might, but he doesn't seem to really have too many big games or score touchdowns. So
Andre Roberts didn't look bad this week. Do you think he's a viable option going forward?
I mean, if you're weak or you got a bye, I mean, I definitely think you can plug him and play him. But I don't think long term he hasn't scored all year. So if
right.
you go with a guy that has one big game, I mean, I would tend to shy away from those guys unless you have to.
So we got two big games, two back to back games out of Riley Cooper. Is he good or you think he's a flash just like Nick Foles?
Man, that one's tougher to call for me. I got to go Riley Cooper. That's a tough one. I got to go, I guess, if I'm trying to make it simple, I'm going to say no. If I have him as a starter on my playoff roster, I'm not confident. I mean, he can give me one of those games, but, you know, you can get in cold weather or face a good cornerback, and I can see his numbers. You know, he doesn't have – I haven't studied tape of him necessarily, but I don't know if he has breakaway speed. He's been able to get over the top, which I think that's through play design. And you know, as the film gets out, I don't think Riley Cooper's he's not a must start for me every week. I wouldn't be excited to have him on my team.
Okay. So all right, that kind of ran through all the people that I was thinking about. Anybody you're thinking about out there? Any fantasy guys? Like if just one sleeper that. Like maybe that people don't know about that you know about or something that people have been sleeping on, a person that people have been sleeping on that could really break out and be the difference between your team going deep in the playoffs or losing in the first round.
Well, yeah, if I had to give a piece of advice, I think what I would say is don't shy away from backup running backs right now because the NFL shows every year as it starts to get to this time of year, you start to see running backs go down with injuries. And I think, you know, I know in most leagues you're going to see Michael Bush on the wire. You're going to see backups all over the league where, you know, they're one injury away from becoming a 20-carry guy, which if you're a 20-carry guy, you're a must-start. So, you know, like I said when we first came into this, you've seen Foster and Mike James go down this week. And I think you're going to continue to see one or two guys a week. So that's kind of what I was heading towards when we had the caller call in was, if you have a high waiver number, you may want to not play anyone and let your waiver wire number build because there's going to be some big backs that go down towards the end. Reggie Bush is no guarantee in Detroit. I mean, you know, I can go on and on. Any running back is an injury away. So I think if there's backup running back where you can see it's a good handcuff, you may want to just stack those guys on your bench right now with the bye weeks being down. I expect to see a lot of backup running backs come up off of the waivers.
Who's behind Bush, Bell, and who's behind Bell in Detroit?
You know what? LeSure, I think, is and then you have they drafted Notre Dame guy. Help me out. Theo Riddick as well. He's there. And I think him and LeSure's been active a few times, and then Riddick has been active a few times. Riddick's obviously a better special team player.
Right.
But I think if you've seen an injury there, you'd see LeSure become active every week.
Okay. All right. Well, that's our fantasy talk. We're going to take another quick break. We're going to come back, talk some college basketball, maybe give our little weekly rant, and, you know, we'll end the show on probably, you know, our little weekly rant. So give us a minute, and we'll be back.
Mom was diagnosed with Alzheimer's at 58 years old. 8 years into the disease was when all the light went out.
For me, it was heart-wrenching.
Looking into the eyes of somebody with Alzheimer's sometimes, you just don't see the person's soul is like gone.
And it takes a toll on everyone. I mean, it's a depressing disease to watch unfold before your eyes.
She actually thought those of us who were caring for her and who loved her most were her worst enemies.
More and more responsibilities fell on my shoulders.
This disease just ravages a family.
It changes your life.
The magnitude of it is indescribable. My mother taught me to be in the moment.
We have to live in the moment with them.
And I'm going to be with that person right now in this moment, wherever she is.
Now is the moment. If we work together, we can stop this epidemic.
Contact Bright Focus and learn more.
Today in school, I learned a lot. In chemistry, I learned that no one likes me. In English, I learned that I'm disgusting. And in physics, I learned that I'm a loser.
Today in school, I learned that I'm ugly and useless. And in gym, I learned that I'm pathetic and a joke. In history, I learned that I'm trash.
Today in school, I learned that I have no friends. In English, I learned that I make people sick. And at lunch, I learned that I sit on my own because I smell. In chemistry, I learned that no one likes
me. In biology, I learned that I'm fat and stupid. And in math, I learned that I'm trash.
The only thing I didn't learn in school today.
The only thing I didn't learn today.
The only thing I didn't learn is why no one ever helps.
Kids witness bullying every day. They want to help, but they don't know how. Teach them how to stop bullying and be more than a bystander at stopbullying.gov. A message from the Ad Council.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're back on All Things Sports. We'll get into a little bit of college basketball, as you may or may not know. Tonight, two huge early season games, Kentucky and all their young kids against Michigan State, and Tom Izzo, who has practically everybody on that team back, and also Duke with their sensational freshman Jabari Parker against Kansas and their sensational freshman, I forget his first name, but Wiggins.
Andrew Wiggins.
Andrew Wiggins, thank you. I don't know if you've been watching. This has been college basketball tip-off weekend, tip-off night, I mean. It's been college basketball all night from since last night until tonight. Also, another big game going on tonight. It's kind of under the radar. Florida and Billy Donovan, who always puts together a good team, is going to be taking on number 20, Wisconsin.
Who's the coach at Wisconsin?
Not that guy. Is it Bennett?
No.
Not Bennett?
Not Bennett.
Then I do not know.
I can't think of it either right now. I know.
All right. You sure about Bennett?
Let me look.
All right. We'll have our research department get on there real quick. But and then also tonight, Shaka Smart, whose team is going to start the year ranked 14th. BC is going to play number 25, Virginia. So if you're into college basketball, a lot of good college basketball out there. And if you're not into college basketball and you are an NBA guy, it's probably in your best interest if you are, let's say, a Suns fan or you're a fan of a bad NBA team in general, it's a good idea to watch these games coming on tonight because in any particular order, the top three picks in the draft are playing tonight, supposedly. Jabari Parker for Duke, Julius Randle for Kentucky, and Andrew Wiggins for Kansas. I've heard some say that Julius Randle will go first just because he's a bigger body, stronger guy. Wiggins is more athletic, and Jabari Parker is a typical Duke player. I'd say he's probably more polished, more skilled than the rest of them, but probably doesn't have as much upside as the other two. You watching tonight, Miller?
Yeah, I'm watching, and I just tore through my my college basketball encyclopedia, and Bo Ryan is the
Bo Ryan.
You should know that as a Big Ten guy. But as far as tonight goes, first of all, without asking you, I already know that you like Duke and Kentucky tonight. I know you like Duke just because you like Duke every year.
Negative. I actually don't like Duke any year.
Do you like Duke tonight, though? Be honest.
I like Kansas.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. Well, I like Kansas tonight as well. I think I know I looked at the spreads of these games. Duke's favored by four. I think Kansas wins outright tonight. I think Andrew Wiggins, you know, on his first big stage game, I think he produces tonight and shows why he's the number one pick, regardless of body or anything like that. You can look at Derek Favors in the NBA. Body doesn't make you a good player, so.
Good point.
I definitely think Andrew Wiggins shows why he's been really the talk of college basketball. And then I think Michigan State kind of going to be, you know, Captain Obvious pick. I think with their experience, I think they got senior guards. I think that they'll against the freshmen, I think they'll get a win there. I expect them. It's another game in the United Center. I expect them to have a bigger crowd. So I think that happens. But I guess look at bigger picture. Maybe out of those four, if you have anyone else you want to throw in there, who do you see? You know, I know it's early, but who do you see winning the national championship this year?
I think if Kentucky can get those guys to play together with the, you know, this was actually one of those years where all their freshmen didn't leave. Like most, I think all of their freshmen stayed, actually. So now you have last year's class with this year's class.
Well, Noel left, but he wasn't playing.
Right. So I think now you have Calipari with a very deep team. So I think toward the end of the year, Kentucky will be the better team. I think right now they will lose to Michigan State tonight because I think that experience will get the best of them tonight. But I think in the long run, Kentucky might have more talent than anyone else.
Well, I think I can't really argue with that. I think, you know, on paper, Kentucky, you know, that's why the preseason number one. I think right now they probably, you know, look the best on paper. We'll see. I'm excited to watch. I mentioned, you know, each week that we talk college basketball, it's every year there's so much change. It's something that you got to learn, kind of learn as you go.
Right.
That BYU score caught my eye. I think they scored normal 115 points last night. I know they have Matt Cardino. He's a local kid out here. His dad's a local coach, and you know, I know he was a big recruit. And then they play that up-tempo style there, and maybe living off some Jim or Fredette recruiting love. They look good. They blowing out each team they played in their first two games, so that could maybe be a team that comes off the map. You know, college. I like to see all these teams. There's always teams that no one's talking about. Nobody was talking about Michigan at the first of last year, and they came out of nowhere.
Right,
so.
And they got Mitch McGarry back, and that dude's a beast in the middle.
Yeah, that'll be another, you know, they're preseason top ten. So, student college basketball, it's upon us. We can't ask for much more than four out of the top five. So if you're a college basketball guy, it's an exciting night.
Guys like, I'll ask you this. I don't know if you got to watch Doug McDermott from Creighton. If you're an NBA GM, do you draft Doug McDermott high?
Is he? So he's back for one more year.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. Do I drop him in the top three? No.
If you have a top seven pick.
Ooh, that's a good way to put it. I don't know. No. He's a lottery guy. He's a top 12 guy. A good example. I don't know. I mean, a lot of times it seems like we want to go skin color, but you know, when you got a guy that's just not athletic, nine times out of ten, that just doesn't translate to the league.
And that was my point. More, I wasn't really going on skin color, more so as athleticism. Like
I was going on skin color. I was going to compare him to Gordon Hayward.
actually, Gordon Hayward's having a decent year on a bad team, but.
Right, but he's not,
you're right. He'll never be a star in the league.
You know who he was drafted ahead of is Paul George. And I went back to see, I know Paul George was taking 10th overall, and I went back to see some of the write-ups on that draft. And CBS Sports gave Indiana an F for that pick, which was one of only the two Fs that they gave out in the first round. So I think that shows, you know, they even up until draft day, sometimes we miss on these kids.
So is it safe to say that out of all the star players that maybe have done in the front office, that maybe Larry Bird's maybe one of the better talent evaluators from guys who, you know how they say most superstars don't put in the work. Can we say that? I think because that Indiana team, there's no quote unquote college or high school superstars on that team. He drafted all those guys, and those guys even right now look like a really good basketball team. Can we give him the credit for that?
I think we have to. He's looking like a guru out there.
Because I've never even heard of Paul George until they drafted him, and he's probably, I would say he's easily a top 10 player in the league right now.
Easily a top 10. Yeah, he looks great. And then, he also deserves credit for Lance Stephenson. They developed him. It took a long time for Lance Stephenson to get good. He just put up a triple-double last night. And to be paired with Paul George, that team's going to be real, real tough. So
and
their stock is rising.
All right, we got about 3 minutes of show left. Miller, do you have anything that caught your eye, anything you want to rant about in our last 3 minutes for the week or anything upcoming, this week upcoming that you want to hit our fans on?
You know what? Give me 1 second. What do you have that you want to say?
Quick rant. This won't be too long. I guess my thing that's bothering me this week is I feel like the NFL, this I know this could be a longer conversation than we have time for, but some of these hits in the NFL, we've talked about it. I know I've seen other people talk about it. I don't know anymore what you're supposed to do as a defensive player in the league other than lose money. If you go low, you lose money. If you go high, you lose money. The hidden zone is getting so small that I think, you know, I don't want to, I use this word when talking to a friend at work, but I'll just say football's becoming, it's still a contact sport, but, you know, and I get, you know, Goodell has all the lawsuits and everything, but there's a certain feminization that's going into football to where it's not as tough. Like, I don't think the 2000 Ravens don't survive in this type of NFL. 85 Bears don't survive in this kind of NFL. Like, it's getting harder to see good defensive football like we did this weekend with the Niners in Carolina. So, with a minute left, brother, what you got?
I'll end just a bit of news. Ed Reed was released today by the Texans.
I saw that.
And I guess my little note on that is I think we've seen Ed Reed's last game. While very talented, I just don't think any team's going to pick him up here over the last few months. I mean, I tried to think of a team he could start for. I don't really see him signing on not to start, so I just don't think he's going to play another game. He had problems in Baltimore last year. He didn't get along with coaches. He made the comments, which I guess ultimately led to his release as far as the coaching in Houston. So, you know, NFL Hall of Famer, Ed Reed, I think he's played his last game, a guy that I was fortunate enough to be playing college and someone that I've followed his whole career. So, you know, I'd be shocked if I seen Ed Reed again.
You can only run your mouth if your talent allows it. Your talent just doesn't allow it anymore. All right, we got about 12 seconds of show. if you're out there listening, once again, I want to thank you for tuning in. Give us a call next week. We'll be back. Thanks for tuning in, and we're out on All Things Sports.